Chapter 1. Kansas City, Missouri, 1883. Grace Sinclair poked the dead man with her foot, then looked up at her three adopted sisters standing on the other side of the body. She tucked a wisp of her blonde hair behind her ear and shook her head.
"He's dead, all right."
The first of her three adopted sisters, Faith No Name, a half-breed Indian, stepped back from the body and sobbed quietly, her delicate features crumpled in misery. Grace knew they were all in a lot of trouble, but what could they do about it now except make it go away the best they could? Another of her sisters, Hope, stepped back to stand next to Faith. She draped a slender arm around Faith's shoulders to comfort her. And then there was Charity, the sister everyone in town called crazy. She kicked the man's body with the toe of her dirty boot. Their red-headed sister had made a name for herself because she rode horses astride in her leather pants and always did the opposite of what everyone expected her to do. Now was no exception. Charity stood over the body. Her red hair glistened in the flickering light of the kerosene lamp as she leaned over the man's body and taunted him.
"That's from me, you son of a—"
Faith gasped.
"Charity, Reverend Baker wouldn't like you talking like that. You know he wouldn't. After all, the man is—"
Faith's words trailed off as if she couldn't bear to say the word. Charity had no qualms about it, though.
"Dead, Faith. The man is dead."
She spoke over her shoulder while she went to work pulling at the rug next to the bed.
"I ain't worried about no Reverend Baker, 'cause we ain't got to answer to him no more. I need a little help over here, if you don't mind. I'm trying to cover up a killing so we don't all end up hanging for it."
Grace reached out and gave Faith's small hand a squeeze of encouragement, then knelt to help Charity tug the rug closer to the dead man. She squatted next to Charity and pulled on the rug, intent on giving her wild child of a sister a warning to keep her mouth closed. She wasn't quick enough. Charity looked up at Faith and shook her head.
"Why do you care what that old coot thinks anyway? We've been gone from that damned orphanage for almost 8 years. And has he come to check on us? No, he hasn't. Not even once. So why should I give a bastard rat's ass what he thinks? Besides, what do you suppose he'd think about you shooting a man to death?"
Grace watched the stubborn set of Charity's jaw as she and her sister worked to move the heavy rug. She knew Charity's brash words were there to cover the pain of being abandoned as a young child. But then, all four of them had been dumped at the doorstep of the orphanage because they were no longer wanted by someone who should have cherished them the most. That's why they banded together and formed a sisterhood of sorts. It was them against the rest of the world. At least, it seemed that way most of the time. Grace could hear Faith's quiet sobs through the shawl she pressed against her face.
"I didn't mean to shoot him. It wasn't like I wanted to. He forced himself on me, and I had no choice. You know that, right? Please tell me you all know I didn't do it on purpose."
Her sobs grew louder as the realization of what she had done struck deep.
"Oh, God is going to strike me dead."
Grace stood and walked to where Faith stood, sobbing in the corner. She reached out and gave her sister a heartfelt hug.
"Of course we know that, sweetheart. And God isn't going to strike you dead because you—"
she tweaked Faith's nose—
"wouldn't hurt a fly." "Well, you can't really say that now, can you?"
Charity snorted. Grace turned and gave Charity a look that brooked no argument. Charity shrugged and pushed at the rug while Hope pulled. Grace played the peacemaker as usual.
"Don't pay any mind to her. You know she has a smart mouth. Isn't that right, Charity?"
Charity stood upright, her tall, slender frame stretched to ease the tension in her body, her hand pressed against her sore back.
Yeah, it's true. Come on, Faith. Of course it's true. You've known me since we huddled together in that dark, dingy orphanage. Have I ever been quiet when I had something to say?"
The sarcasm oozed from Charity's words. Grace straightened Faith's shawl and wiped the tears from her coffee and cream-colored skin. She looked at Hope, sending her a silent plea to do something about Charity. Hope took the hint.
"That's right, Faith. You know as well as me and Grace that Charity was born talking. The day she was born, the doctor smacked her on her bottom side, and instead of crying like most babies do, she grunted and babbled and told him right where he could go."
Hope sidled next to Charity, her dark hair and petite frame in stark contrast to her sister's. She gave Charity a warning look and a punch in the ribs with her elbow. Grace watched the interaction between the women. They'd come a long way since the sad little urchins they once were. Charity shrugged her shoulders, and Hope pushed her toward the rug and the dead man lying in the middle of it.
"Okay, ladies," Grace urged them to listen. "This is going to require teamwork. Let's get him rolled up in the rug and out of here."
Charity and Hope bent down to roll the dead man onto the rug. They rose, pinching their noses, trying not to gag. Hope groaned, and her disgust was evident in the shake of her head, sending rippling waves through her dark hair.
"Ugh, what makes a man think he can smell like last week's garbage and then come loving up on a woman? I don't know how Rosie's girls do, you know, what they do. It's disgusting."
Grace looked down at the man's face. He looked familiar, but she couldn't fathom where she might have seen him. A customer at the gaming tables where she dealt cards? Well, maybe. He was dirty and stank to high heaven, but his clothes were expensive. Definitely not the cheap stuff the regulars wore. Charity wrinkled her nose in disdain.
"What he was trying to do wasn't love as I see it."
Grace nodded in agreement.
"Okay, let's get moving. We don't want to carry him out through the middle of Rosie's customers."
Hope bent down and tried again.
"We need to get him on the rug and out of here now. The law can't be called because..."
Her sister shot a look toward Faith. Grace could tell by the look on Hope's face what she was about to say. She might as well get it out in the open.
"Because Faith is an Indian, and the law don't hold kindly to a squaw killing a white man."
Charity beat her to it. Damn that girl. But in truth, she said exactly what they were all thinking.
"Charity, must you be so crude?"
Hope shook her head in exasperation and grabbed the man's coat to roll him over onto the rug.
"I need help."
Grace and Charity joined Hope, and together they pulled on the man's coat, managing to roll the body over and onto the rug. Grace looked up to see Faith still frozen in the corner, shaking and pulling her shawl tightly around her shoulders. Grace stood and looked at each of the other three girls.
"If we can get his body out of here and down the back stairs into the alley, there's a good chance the marshal will blame the killing on a gambling deal gone bad."
"Okay, I'll go see if anyone's hanging around the back stairs. Wait for me to come back."
Hope poked her head out the bedroom door. She turned and gave a thumbs up, then eased out into the hallway, pulling the bedroom door behind her. Charity sat on the bed, staring at the body rolled up in the rug.
"It's as quiet as a tomb in here."
Grace glanced at her unconventional sister.
"Funny, Charity."
Charity grinned at her own inappropriate humor and shrugged. 15 minutes later, Hope slipped back inside the bedroom and locked the door behind her.
"It's all clear. Most of the girls are downstairs with their customers, but we gotta hurry. It won't be long before they head upstairs for their nightly... you know."
She wiggled her eyebrows up and down to convey the deed she didn't want to say. Grace approached Faith and put her arms around her sister's trembling shoulders.
"What about Rosie?"
Faith's voice warbled through tears.
"She knows everything that goes on in her place."
Charity knelt by the body and flipped the edges of the rug over the dead man, making sure he was completely hidden inside, and not a single bit of him could be seen outside the edges of the rug.
"She's downstairs too. We'll just have to be extra careful. Now's our chance, and we have to move fast."
Grace gave Faith another supportive hug.
"It'll be all right, sweetheart. I promise. We'll take care of everything."
Faith nodded in understanding.
"I'm really sorry all of you are involved in this mess. I wish..."
Grace smiled at the frightened, timid girl with the sad, soulful brown eyes. Her beautiful face surrounded by shiny blue-black hair.
"Courage, Faith. We have to be brave."
Faith nodded and took a deep breath.
"Let's get this over with."
The four women lifted the rolled-up rug. Two in front, two in back. They made their way into the hall and down the back stairs. They were almost to the back door at the bottom when they heard a familiar voice of authority.
"Just exactly what are you girls up to?"
Rosie's deep, gravelly voice sent chills through Grace, who looked heavenward and pleaded.
God, just this once. Couldn't you be on our side?
Charity turned and blocked Rosie from coming down the stairs.
What makes you think we're up to something, Rosie? You know we wouldn't do nothing.
Quit trying to pull the wool over my eyes, Charity. We all know that's a dead body rolled up in that rug. My question is, why is there a dead body rolled up in that rug? And what did you girls have to do with it?
Rosie's rouged lips pursed. Her pointed boot tapped a cadence on the wooden stair. Grace knew they needed to get off the stairs before someone other than Rosie spotted them.
Look, Rosie, you're like a mother to all of us.
She swept her hand to include the other three women.
You're the mother we never had, and the last thing we want to do is involve you in this...
Her voice trailed off, and she shot a look toward the rug. Rosie looked into the face of each woman.
So what happened? You girls are as clever as a red fox trying to find a way into the hen house. Tell me what the gall-darn hell happened here.
Grace nodded to the others, and they lowered the rug-covered body to rest on the stairs. Charity came back down the stairs to stand by the back door. Grace climbed the stairs and stood next to Rosie.
This here stranger tried to rape our Faith. She did her best to run from him, but he grabbed her, tearing her dress and hurting her arm.
Faith slid her torn sleeve up and showed Rosie the long, red welts smeared with blood.
Why, that no good son of a bitch!
Rosie squared her shoulders and fisted her hands on her hips. She cut an angry look toward the rug. Grace placed her hand on Rosie's arm.
Faith had no choice. She shot him to protect herself. And if any one of us had been in that situation, we would have done the same thing.
She shot the bastard with the gun I gave y'all?
Rosie's painted brows rose in surprise. Grace nodded.
Yes, ma'am, with the gun you gave us.
Rosie stood quiet for a moment.
And it don't help none that Faith is... not white, does it?
Grace nodded.
That's right. It won't go well for her even though she was just protecting herself.
Okay, then. Let's get this son of Satan down the stairs and out into the alley. If anyone asks, we don't know nothing. Besides, the law'll think he was done in by a begrundled business associate. Here, let me help.
Hope looked at Rosie and then back at each of her sisters. Eyebrows raised in question, she mouthed silently.
What's begrundled?
All three shrugged in unison. Grace mouthed back.
No idea.
Rosie stomped down the steps and grabbed the end of the rug next to Hope. Grace and Charity grabbed the other end. Faith provided the lookout. They gingerly cleared the last step and peeked around the door into the alley. All clear. They shuffled their way to the end of the alleyway and dropped the rug-wrapped body onto a garbage pile. Rosie piled more garbage on top of it.
You girls get upstairs and stay there till I come get you. I got some thinking to do.
Rosie, their protector, hands on hips, legs akimbo, stood guard. Each one of them hugged the burly woman as they made their way down the alley to the back steps. Grace could tell Rosie was affected by their demonstration of love. The tough, rough-around-the-edges woman didn't let on, but Grace could tell. Each of the sisters moved quietly up the stairs and then down the hall one at a time to their shared room. Once they were all inside the room, Grace closed and locked the door behind them. And then they waited. The quiet surrounding them was interrupted by the occasional sounds of activity from downstairs. Grace could hear Faith sniff from time to time. She probably should comfort the poor girl, but she couldn't make herself move. What would become of them? They had all worked so hard to learn how to make a decent living, even if proper folk looked down on them for working in a saloon. And they owed Rosie everything. Rosie was the only person who helped them when they reached the age of maturity and were turned out of the orphanage with no money, no trade, and nowhere to sleep. When Rosie heard about their situation, she took the men off the streets and gave them jobs. Good, honest, fair-paying jobs. Grace glanced over at Charity and watched her pace back and forth across the other side of the room. Charity couldn't keep control of her own mouth, but she was a whiz at keeping control of Rosie's books. She could tell whether the bartender or the girls were drinking more than the customers paid for. Grace found it amazing. Hope had always been the tidy one of their group. She washed and cleaned as if somehow she could scrub away the sadness in her heart. And then there was Faith. She was the last of them to arrive at the orphanage. Poor, mistreated little girl with her long blue-black hair, her fragile features, and her skin tones of coffee and cream. The other orphans picked on her from her first day, calling her horrible names until Charity stepped in and gave them what for. Then she and Hope joined in to show a united front. Somehow, it had worked. At least while the three of them were looking. Grace sensed there was much more going on when no one was watching. Rosie's saloon was home to them. They felt safe, productive, happy. But they had let their guard down, and now they would pay the price. A soft knock sounded at the door. Grace exchanged glances with the other women.
"Who is it?"
she called out.
"It's me, Rosie. Let me in. I have an idea."
Charity opened the door to let Rosie in, then closed and locked it behind her. Rosie sat on the bed.
"So, here's what we're going to do. My cousin Aggie wrote me this past summer. Her husband, Hiram, started a new law practice in the little mining town out west. Creed, I think, is the name of the town. Anyway, it's in Colorado, and she said she'd be coming through here around the 7th of September on her way to her new home and was going to stop in for a visit. That's 4 days from now."
Grace waited for Rosie to continue, unsure where this trail of thought was headed. The tension among the other women was palpable. Charity shifted from one foot to the other in anticipation.
"She also told me the leaders of this town are advertising in the matrimonial news. The story is, the town is overflowing with men. These men work in the mines, haul freight for the mines and the railroad, and then there's the businessmen and the shopkeepers. The way Aggie tells it, it's like an anthill of men crawling everywhere."
Grace watched Rosie look around the room, making eye contact with each one of them.
"But here's the town's problem. There ain't enough women in town to keep them men happy and working. They're threatening to pull out and go somewhere they can find proper wives and start families."
"You mean they advertised for women? To marry?"
Faith asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Rosie nodded.
"Yeah, they need wives, and you girls need husbands."
"Are these good men? Not like the man in the alley?"
Hope asked. Rosie rose from the edge of the bed and walked to Hope and placed a motherly arm around her shoulders.
"Of course they are. Aggie said her husband, Hiram, is in charge of investigating the men who applied for a wife. If I know my cousin, she'll make damn sure these are good men, or not one of them will touch a proper young lady."
Hope and Charity exchanged glances. Charity spoke up.
"But Rosie, we ain't no proper young ladies. We won't pass the muster."
Rosie shook her crooked, arthritic, ravaged finger at the girls.
"You girls are as proper and deserving as any young lady brought up on the other side of Main Street. Don't ever think for a gall-darn minute you all ain't good enough. And I'll whoop anyone that says different."
Grace smiled at the heavy-set woman wearing garish clothing and sporting too much rouge. The townspeople looked down their noses at the likes of Rosie. And them. But there was no one Grace would rather have in her corner than Rosie O'Malley. Except maybe the three young women she proudly called sisters. Hope spoke up. A thoughtful look creased her face.
"How are we going to get from Kansas City, Missouri, to this Creed, Colorado? We don't have money for a ticket. Besides, if we all skip out of town together, won't that raise suspicions? You know, with the dead man rolled up in our rug and all."
"Now here's what we're going to do. First, I'm going to make a visit to my friend down at the newspaper office and get him to find me one of them letters from Creed requesting a wife. Then, I'm going to pay for one of you to travel with my cousin to her new home right there in that town. It ain't going to be easy, but it's the only chance we got to get you all out of here."
Charity stepped forward.
"Why we gotta leave it all, Rosie? Ain't nobody gonna know who shot that old piece of filth. Why can't we just stay here and act like everything's fine as frog's hair?"
"Because it ain't for certain there won't be an investigation when that body's found. If the sheriff does come nosing around, it could get risky if someone gives off nervous vibrations."
Rosie threw a quick look in Faith's direction. All the girls nodded in agreement. Faith would never be able to keep up the pretense, and Grace knew Charity would never be able to keep her mouth shut. They were sunk for sure if people started asking questions. They had to act quickly.
You mean one of us is going to this faraway place? And marry a stranger?
Faith's trembling voice whispered the question.
Who's going to be the one to go?
Hope asked.
I guess it has to be me since I'm the one that killed that man.
Faith dropped her face into her hands and sobbed. Grace looked at Faith's dark head as she swore the poor girl was going to faint dead away.
Sweetheart, you can't be the one for the same reasons you were attacked, or we can't allow you to be charged. We love you, and we see your kindness, but you know as well as the rest of us what people see when they look at you.
Her sister raised her face. Tears slipped down Faith's cheek.
I know. All they see is a savage Indian who kills people.
Her eyes suddenly rounded in shock when she realized what she had just said.
Oh my gosh! I did kill a person!
Charity stepped up and roughly hugged Faith. Grace and Hope exchanged surprised looks. Their outspoken sister was not one for showing emotion. Always claimed it made her look weak. Rosie looked at each of the girls one by one, and then back to Grace.
It's going to be up to you girls to figure out which one. It'll take someone strong and smart and self-sacrificing. Someone who can hold their tongue.
Rosie looked pointedly at Charity and then came back to rest on Grace.
I think we all know which one it should be, but I'll let you girls decide amongst yourselves. You've got until Sunday to make your decision.